Diet Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We are broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is May 23rd, 2019. Saints, the world is in turmoil. Most just don't realize it, but we are in that time of the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hear the sound of the shofar. Heed the warning. Please get right now before it's too late. If you need help after the program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, please leave your name, number, prayer request, and or message. Phone number, 620-878-4682. 620-878-4682. In an emergency, my cell phone number is 316-619-4886. Please text that before you call it because of all of the, you guys know, robocalls. So, anyway, you can always find updates with the breaking news, the Wichita Mission Church radio program archives, contact information, all this at our ministry hub, which is very simply prophecyhour.com. Remember, folks, we're a national satellite radio program, which is simulcast live on the net internationally. It's live on YouTube, some FM stations, so pray about supporting airtime. I do implore you to pray that. It's not free, and I don't sell anything, so we're only on the air by your good graces. On another note, let's thank our listener base that is worldwide in places like Frankfurt, Germany, Mumbai, India, Vancouver, Canada, Perth, Australia, and of course cities in the United States such as Bakersfield, California, Omaha, Nebraska, Louisville, Kentucky, Houston, Texas. These are just to name a few, of course. Wichita, Kansas still remains the largest group of listeners to our radio programs when they podcast later tonight. Follow us and share us on Twitter. That's Pastor Dan Catlin at Brent77. Now prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name I pray. Father, I pray radio tonight goes according to your will and not ours. Please give everyone out there ears in which to hear the truth. So, Father Yahweh, in Yeshua HaMashiach's mighty name, bless this program tonight. Well, before I get right into the program, a couple of things I want to mention really, really quick. Number one, the terrible, terrible storm that hit Missouri last night. There's some people dead, and there's a lot without homes, and I hear some are even still buried in the rubble. So I'm going to say a quick prayer for them, but there's no such thing as quick with the Father. Your Heavenly Father in Yeshua's name. Father, I ask that you bless all the people in Missouri that have been affected from the storm, whether it's because they lost loved ones or their homes or whatever, they're in mourning. Father, I just ask you to lift them up and bless them and help the ones that need medical attention. Put your divine hand there in Yeshua HaMashiach's name. Amen and amen. And now beyond that, the other thing I want to mention, we are in the Memorial Weekend. Memorial Weekend. Supposed to originally meant for veterans, but it's come, that's a time when everybody, everybody that does it, used to be older generations used to do it more, but we do it. We make a round trip of it, visiting the graveyards and such. So, you know, you need to honor, the memories of the dead. I mean, the dead don't know what you're saying because the word says the dead knows nothing, but we still need to honor the memories of our loved ones that are passed and those that ones that fought and died for us. To be able, otherwise, we wouldn't be on this radio program if these people hadn't fought and died for us. Okay, now then, so just bless the veterans out there in Yeshua's name. Amen. Okay, now we've seen a clear escalation of rhetoric between Iran and the United States. While Ayatollah has said he has no plans to start a war, and Trump says that he says the same things, but when you look at all the evidence, like now we're talking about Israeli newspaper said 5,000 troops. I heard that the Pentagon requested 10,000 troops to go to the Middle East. At some point with all this escalation, don't you think war will happen? Well, I don't know. But I do believe war at some point, of course, is inevitable with, between Iran and the rest of the world, or between Iran and Israel, Iran and the United States. I just don't know if it's time. But our guest tonight is going to tell you what he feels about it. And this guest is Steve, is the administrator of the Oklahoma Attorney Resources, which provides legal help for the poor and less fortunate. Well, God bless you, Steve. That's a great thing. In addition, Steve was led by the Spirit to start up the Sure Word of Prophecy Ministries. Steve has an extreme interest in Bible prophecy and has been diligently searching the prophet's writings for additional light to share with a scoffing world that indeed there is one who knows the end from the beginning, which we all know is our Father Yahweh, of course. I don't think Steve was talking about himself, do you? Anyway, many years ago, Steve obeyed the call to teach the prophetic word in his videos, and they're being watched from all over the world. That's a fact. In the last 30 years, Steve has also served as a pastor, an evangelist, and a equipper for Yeshua's body. His website is surewordprophecy.org, surewordprophecy.org. It's a good resource for you to stay informed and watchful. So tonight's topic is entitled Daniel 8, Unsealed. Welcome, Steve. Are you there with me?
Grace and peace to you, Pastor Dan. Been a while.
Yeah, well, a couple of months, but that just gives us more time to think.
You're
welcome back. If I forget, I get sidetracked, and let alone this year, I've been trying not to drive everybody crazy by forcing them on the program every week or month.
Yeah.
And so if you have something that you particularly want to talk about, send it to me.
Okay, brother. Well, I appreciate the invitation and platform to be able to share with you this evening. We've been down here fighting tornadoes and flooding in Oklahoma. Man, three warnings have came around my home in the last couple of days. And fortunately for us, we just believed in the one who could speak to the winds and waves, and they obeyed, you know. And so it didn't touch us, but there's a lot of damage around here and flooding. So when you pray for pray for those Okies, too, please, because we're in great need right now. I had an attorney that worked with our program who they had to rescue her off her second floor in the middle of the night. She lived by a lake, and it overflowed. So she lost everything, even the car she had just bought a month prior to this flood. So a lot of people hurting, brother, and we're to be light and salt. And thank you for your ministry.
Well, amen. In the last program, which I now do three programs with my wife a month, lets me talk about things that I want. My point is on that program, we pointed out that also here in Kansas, it's really flooding in, and there's really people all over the country that are really suffering for this. And of course, I love Oklahoma. I got a lot of people, that are over there in Oklahoma, some that spent time with our ministry. And then moved to Oklahoma and have their own ministries there now. And I'll lift up Oklahoma, absolutely. Anyway, back to you. So what do you think about all this rhetoric?
It's a sign. The earth is groaning for deliverance, and we see it everywhere. I think we they say you can't see the forest of the trees because you're hugging one big tree, and I think a lot of us are doing that. We're just hugging one tree, and we can't see everything else that's going on because we're distracted by that one big tree, And I don't know. That's just my opinion. But I think if we really have our eyes wide open right now, we see a serious war that's brewing that has specific players in it. And as you're aware, and I've been sharing for several years with your program, Pastor Dan, it's clear at the end that the whole truth of the sealed-up words of Daniel will become unsealed, and the knowledge of these prophecies will increase. Because Daniel was told specifically, shut up the book, seal the vision, until the time of the end. And what a masterful way to conceal truth, Pastor Dan, just seal it up, right? And, then when it's necessary to understand it, at the end, when the captain of Jehovah's army is ready to end the madness down here, well, the commander himself will strip off the seal, and knowledge of Daniel's words will increase, and a floodgate of more light is coming, brother. I believe it. It's here in our face, and I'm here to declare it to you.
Yeah, amen. And you do have a big insight. You've been studying this particular issue for some time. And as you say, folks, you can find these programs still over in our archives, but you have a lot of videos on these subjects right there on your own website, right?
Yes, sir. I've actually done that same presentation three times in the last 10 years, and each time I do it, I say, this will be my last one, but it gets so much clearer and concise that I have to put out another one. So it's available on the website there. Just hit Vimeo. It goes straight to it, and you'll be blessed by it.
Okay, I got to share this with you, and I'll make it quick. I was, for a few years in a row, I kept going, well, I need to write a book about Bible prophecy, you know, and I won't go into all the details. But my problem was every time I started, I needed to update, and finally I just said, forget about it, because it's always changing. But I do have a book that I am working on now. It's called Torah in the New Testament, and it's going to be dynamite. That's something that doesn't change, so I feel comfortable with it. Back to you.
Well, brother, you pursue that. The Lord leads, we need people out that are willing to teach and stick their neck out, maybe be a little unpopular for what they hold to be truth, but, you know, there's going to be a lot of so-called teachers that are prophecy teachers and pastors and leaders in churches who are going to have to nibble on humble pie and move onward with truth someday, and the new truth will be an acid test to those who profess to know it. And I'm speaking in regards to the book of Daniel, because at the time of the end, these visions of Daniel chapter 7 through 12 are going to become unsealed. I feel like I'm a broken record if I repeat myself. But it doesn't seem to be, as you scan the base of prophecy teachers and what they're propagating and the type of things that they're promoting, I hear very, very little about the book of Daniel and any of their ideas of what's coming. And I see it in a different light, and I've shared my part of it, as I've been doing it for a long, long time, and I believe that we're facing the unsealing of Daniel 8, and I think it is unsealed. And I think that if you'll be honest with the vision and look at it a little closer and examine it, and hopefully we'll get that done here in just a minute or so. So I think that if you look at it and then just really be real with it and ask yourself, is this really a historical event that would happen in history, or is it really an end time vision, as Gabriel says it is in Daniel 8:17? And then he said, I'm going to show you what's going to be at the last end of the indication, for at the point of time the end shall be. And he speaks three times of this particular Daniel 8 vision is going to be an end time vision. And that does nothing to do with 320 B.C. And I find that people seem to be comfortable. You're talking about comfort in their interpretations, and they think that everything has been fulfilled, when, in fact, at the end, we would take another look at that, and that the words of this book are going to become unsealed, and the players and the geographical locations, the specifics, are going to come out and stand up in our face as it is, in Daniel chapter 8 as we speak, brother. And so how do you want me to proceed with this?
Well, I want you to go ahead how you're led, but
okay.
One question I'm going to propose to you that
yes.
Before you get started, and I want you to just unpack it as you see it,
sure.
Instead of redirection from me, is that, you know, people going back and forth, some people are saying, well, Trump, this and that, being an idiot for confronting Iran. But with all that Iran does, in reality, shouldn't we be confronting Iran? Back to you.
I think, you know, and the nations are stirred up, and I think you have some nations that are, they seem to be the world policemen, and we know who we're talking about here. And they
right.
come from the West, you know, and they're a great nation, and that's what they call themselves. In fact, we're wanting to try and make America great again through the pastor and President Trump. And I think he's doing a bang-up job in standing his ground, and he is a prime candidate to initiate this this coming Daniel 8 war that I see. And if he has the personality and the boldness to make a stand, and that's making Iran look stupid. And you don't do that to Iranian mullahs for too long of a time without getting some type of consequences come behind it. And ever since, you know, for 40 years, with the taking over the embassy in Tehran, the U.S. embassy, And finally, we stood up and had enough guts to confront him, and we got our people out. But it's always been this rhetoric against the West, and not just the West, but Western culture, because they feel that we're the great Satan and our influence is, you know, with as loose as we are, and you have to be kind of honest with that. We are a pretty loose goose nation. We marry gays in this country, so that is a little loose. And so they don't want that culture, in their worldview. So they want to eliminate it, and so that's why they're trying to get rid of Israel and in the West. They've been in that battle for 40 years or so, and now things have ramped up the place. And if we were to go through, you know, for the last 40 years, through the siege of Iraq and then the influx of Iran into Iraq as they murdered many U.S. troops, and then they began to amalgamate their military and political options together, which is something that prophecy said would happen, that the two horns would finally get together. One would be the focus first, and then the other would come up, the greater nation or the greater country, and come in, and they would begin to get aggressive. So, but recognize that in this vision, Daniel was taken to a certain geographical location. It's a river. And he mentions this first, and that's found in Daniel 8 in the first couple of verses. And it says he was taken to the river. He was in the palace of Shushan when he was taken out of that palace into vision and onto the river Ulai. So it means that this is a location that we need to take note of. He mentions this first, and there's a reason. And it's a very specific location. I don't have to guess about where this is. You can look at it on your own maps. Google it. You'll find out where it is. The ram is standing by a river, and here's the first clue. The river is on the border of Iraq and Iran. No guesswork. My eyes are focused on this first clue first, Pastor Dan. And this river just happens to be located and tied into the most important river, which goes out into the Persian Gulf and passes through the Strait of Hormuz into the major waterway that all the oil comes in and out of. And according to this particular prophecy, something alarms the entity from the West and infuriates this entity from the West across the surface of the whole earth from the West to move with frenzy, and their eyes are set on this ram that is actually pushing. And well, could this ram shut down this vital waterway at the end, the one in which a great majority of the oil from the Middle East is traveling in and out of as we speak? Could that be a target of the Persian or the Iranian Republic of Iran, as you call it now, which are coming to threaten down, closing down this waterway by force? Now, the Ulai is at the confluence of the Tigris and Euphrates rivers, which goes out in the Strait of Hormuz, into the Strait of Hormuz from the Shat al-Arab waterway. And it would seem to me, according to the prophet, it's going to be a little bit more north than what Iran is figuring, which they're talking about shutting down the Strait of Hormuz as we speak. And now we're sending destroyers and warships and military over there as a threat, a show of force, because we have had credible evidence that Iran has threatened our troops in the Middle East, and they've been putting missiles on those little speedboats, and some intelligence from above called a satellite took pictures of these missiles, and now they have taken them back and removed the missiles off these speedboats. Their mouth got in the way, and they got a little bit too big for their britches, and now they're having to back down again. And the United States is doing a very good job in showing force, in showing, hey, we're not going to take any of your hate-mongering and your rhetoric. And by the way, you're expanding your territories all across this Middle Eastern region, and have created nothing but chaos everywhere that your footprint lies. So we are facing, brother, that moment in time when the West, led by a great nation, in fact, The goat itself has to be more than just a great nation, because the goat has a great nation on its forehead, meaning that as it was in the day when Iraq was invaded, from a coalition from the West, they came from the air and they stomped down on Iraq. And, of course, that conflict was right in that beginning, was right there in that conflict where Daniel stood in vision 2,500 years ago. That was in the first war in 91 when they were in Kuwait, which is right south and west of that river where Daniel stood with the ram. And so there's so much here to share with you, brother. I'm not sure exactly what all you want to share, but I'm sure you have some input. So let me give you the opportunity to share that.
Actually, I really do want you just to unpack it as you feel led. And I don't know, and a lot of my guests, you're one of them, that I believe that you have it on your heart the way that it's been presented to you, and so I want you to present what's most important to you. I'm well listening. You just present it the way that you want to. So, but we did have a guest ask, and he said, and I don't think what a lot of people not a guest, but somebody asked, a lot of people don't understand that there's different tidbits in ministry in prophecy, like it says. There's going to be a peace treaty, and then everyone believes it, and then there will be sudden destruction. Well, these things, like this with Iran, these things stretch out over a few years. It's not like in a second all these things happen at once. You care to address what he asked about the peace
treaty? That's right, Pastor Dan. In fact, in Daniel 8, you have a appointed time. It's a time prophecy, and it actually says in the original Hebrew, it's 2300 Arab Boker, which means literally evening mornings, okay? So this is another reason why you can't put this in a historical placement. It has nothing to do with Alexander the Great or his four generals. In fact, if you want to get, again, honest with the history, you're going to find out that 2 + 2 does not equal 4 when it comes to that historical application. It's a little similar, and that's the way God would do it. He would make it look and appear like that might have been a fulfillment until a certain time when people get stirred up by the Holy Spirit to take another look. Because Jesus said, when the gospel is preached into all the world for a witness unto all the nations, then the end will come. And then he specifically mentions, brother, the prophet Daniel. And it ought to give everyone a clue, the study in prophecy, to go back in the book of Daniel and take a good, hard, honest look at the end, because we recognize, as I've exposited to you, and the word declares, it is going to be sealed up, but then there's going to be knowledge that will increase, that will show us we have just a short amount of time left on this earth before Yeshua comes. Hallelujah. And that's what it's all about. It's not about the conflicts. We know the storm is coming, and it's going to be relentless, but we also understand that storm is going to pass, and we're going home, brother, and behold, the bridegroom is coming. That ought to wake up the sleeping saints, eh?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, we're now about a minute before break. Tell them where your website's at. Tell them what they can find there. You got about 40 seconds.
Okay. Yeah, so surewordprophecy.org is just a very simple website that keeps you informed with current events. All of these things I'm talking about are on that website. There is a video called The Ram and a Goat. It's on the homepage. Just hit that Vimeo link. You go straight to it and watch about an hour presentation of my last presentation I did probably, around a year and a half ago. But now it's so much more intense, I think I need to do another one. But anyway, there's a lot in there you'll benefit from. You'll stay informed.
Well, man, at least you have here's a good thing. You have a willingness to change, you know what I mean, add to, change, you know what I'm saying? That means that you are in the right place, consistently learning. Okay, folks, look, we got to go to a break. We'll be back in about 4 minutes.
Go away, Pastor Dan will be right back.
Hey, America, time to wake up. Uncle Sam, he's a knowing we're headed to civil war. So he's got his new world order knocking at our door. Well, I think that we've been taken. It sure seems that we've been reamed. You think that we're mistaken. That's not the way it seems. Don't you know that it's time to wake up? Hey America, aren't you fed up with the
war? After the children of Israel were in the Promised Land, and the sacrificial system for atonement of sin was in place, they still had a choice to make. Would they continue to serve the gods of their fathers, or would they put away those gods and serve the Lord? Joshua cautioned the people that their willful association with other gods would not be forgiven. He warned them that the Lord would turn and do them evil and consume them even after he had done them good. Joshua petitioned the people, "Choose you this day whom you will serve." And the people answered and said, "Far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods." We know from the biblical record that the children of Israel did not put away the paganism that was among them. Because of that, they were sold into the hands of their enemies, and when they cried unto the Lord, he told them to go and cry unto the gods that they had chosen, and let those gods deliver them. The very same pagan gods and goddesses which the children of Israel refused to put away in Joshua's time can still be found by one name or another in the organized church of today. Balaam is the equivalent of the sun gods celebrated on December 25th, and Ashtaroth is now known as Easter. We too have a choice to make. Who will we look to in the time of our distress? Psalms 34 tells us that the righteous cry and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. Proverbs 28 says, "He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be an abomination." I'm Richard Reeves with Just the Facts. For more information, contact Partakers Publications, Post Office Box 23031, Charlotte, North Carolina 28227, or visit our website at www.toolong.com.
We are back. This is Pastor Dan Catlin. You're listening to Science Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Well, I didn't want to make a bunch of noise because I was doing something during break, but anyway, I apologize. Anyway, you heard me talk about it, and I mentioned it today that I am now working on a book. That's the book's working title is called Torah in the New Testament, and I have a publisher that's actually waiting on it. I'm trying to get this done by the end of summer, so I need to be able to work on it other than here in my office. I need a laptop, folks. I need an update laptop to do it. So if anybody got anything that can help me out with that, I just pray about it. Anyway, also, the next thing that I need to bring up is radio airtime. Folks, we used to have a sponsor that paid for radio airtime the first day of every month. Well, we don't have that now. He quit after a number of years. He just never heard anything from him again. Radio airtime costs us $2.50 a month. It's past due. It's almost time for it to be due again on the first of the month. And it's really not fair to ABR to always have to be waiting on us. So we're praying that maybe a couple of people will send donations at the first of the month designated for radio airtime every month and tell me that's what they're going to do, because we really do need that. But don't take away your normal donations to do it. It has to be in addition to or something new. But anyway, so pray about it. We also want to know out there, where are you listening to us at? You know, we're on satellite. We're on this podcast, that podcast. We're all over the place. Some people listen live on ABR. Send me a text or an email or a postcard where I know, so I know whether you're listening on satellite or where you're at. One of the podcast catchers that pick us up. We'd like to know, just so we can thank you folks, because where you listen at is meaningful to us, and as you know, that's why we thank you for all the different people and where you're at that we say at the first of each program. So anyway, pray about it. Pray about supporting the Wichita Mission Church. We do really need your help right now. Of course we do. We always do. We always need help. Anyway, so pray about it. You can donate online or by mail or check or money order, or you can give a donation over the phone, and you can find all the information where at prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. And remember, all donations, no matter what size, helps, but the Father notices all donations that come from where? Your heart. And now we're back with Steve Henderson, and we're talking about Iran, and he's, because all the rhetoric with Iran in the news and what's going on back and forth to the United States, even to the fact of maybe sending 5,000 to 10,000 troops there, I brought Steve kind of knocked on me, or he sent me an email saying, hey, and I said, yeah, of course, we'll cover it. He's now covering Daniel 8. So you still there, Steve? Did I lose Steve? I don't know. Oh, he dropped. Okay, well, we're going to call Steve back and get him on the line. I don't know. Sometimes that happens, and that's between communications, between Skypes and cell phones and all those kind of things, or office phones, but he'll be back on in a minute. But this really is important right now. It's something we need to pray about. Today, I noticed in the Israeli news today, they were talking about maybe 5,000 troops being sent to the Middle East. And then I heard that the Pentagon told Trump, and I haven't read the article yet, but the headline was that they were talking about 10,000 troops. I do believe we should be confronting Iran. I don't know if it's such, I know there's going to be war with Iran and parts and the rest of the world, so to speak. I don't know what the timing is with that. So that's why we brought Steve on. He does have some insight into Daniel 8, which Daniel 8, by the way, if you haven't ever read it, you should. It talks completely about Bible prophecy. I don't suppose we've got him reconnected yet. There you are. Wow. Okay.
Hallelujah.
Right. Hallelujah. Where'd you go, brother?
I just got raptured. I come back.
Not time for that yet. Not time for that.
Well, one day he's coming. Hey, yeah, brother, I don't know what happened. I'm on landline, so anyway, we're back in order, right?
Yeah, we're good now, and it's time for you to talk.
Okay, so let's pick back up on what we were talking about as far as this ram, and according to the prophecy, the ram, if the ram is Persia, which Gabriel says it is part of, then it puts us into places in three different locations, and so we look for the news for seizing territory and expanding its terror base. That's the way I see the prophecy. And Iran's aggressive and expansionist behavior is becoming very self-evident. Let me point to an article out of Gatestone Institute last month to verify my point. This is entitled, U.S. Must Stop Iran's Takeover of Yemen. And it's really, this article just illustrates the enormity of the outreach and the pushing into different locations as we speak, that this Iran is doing, and according to this prophecy, Iran is part of the end-time Persia, which just happened to be pushing in three different directions. And so this particular article says the Islamic Republic of Iran has been encircling Saudi Arabia with the apparent goal of taking over Saudi oil fields and holy sites. And the major international shipping lanes on either side of the Arabian Peninsula, the Bab al-Mandeb and the Strait of Hormuz, Iran has also been occupying Syria and Iraq, running Lebanon by means of Iran's terrorist proxy group Hezbollah, and funding yet another terrorist group, Hamas, in the Gaza Strip, presumably, listen, in the hope of destroying Israel. Even far more alarming, this article continues, by far, is that Iran is on the threshold of obtaining nuclear weapons and the ballistic missiles to deliver them. Iran, in short, has adopted a dangerous expansionist ideology that needs to be taken seriously. America must stop Iran from taking over Yemen. And we could add on there Syria, Iraq, and Lebanon, and they are wanting to form a highway to the Mediterranean Gulf and to form their expansionist theology of Shia Islam, which is to take the whole world and bring in and usher in the 12th Imam. And they're very serious about seeing this done, but it has to start with an event that will bring in enough calamity to bring in the last Imam. So we're looking at that right in the face. The other specific, Pastor Dan, that I find interesting is the two horn part, one is high, but the one was higher and then the other and higher came up last. And we recognize, you know, if it's going to point it back to this Iran-Iraq geographical location and then say that the ram is the kings of the Medes and Persians, and we all recognize, you know, when Daniel was writing the book that the Persians succeeded, the Medes and Persians succeeded the Babylonians and went underneath the walls and took out that great Babylonian king that night. And then it declares in Daniel 6 that Darius the Mede began to reign, so we recognize that's part of history. But when you put the Medes and Persians at the end and where they were at when Daniel was writing the book, which they had inhabited the place of the Mesopotamia or the Babylonian kingdom, that was in modern-day Iraq and Iran, and the geographical location of the Eli River puts it in that spot. And so these two horns, one would indicate that one would be the focus, and another more powerful nation would get involved with it, and then they begin to get aggressive. And what I find interesting, Pastor Dan, are these articles that talk about how the theater of Iraq is going to be the place where U.S. and Iran war is going to come down to. And this is what the military experts are saying, and news people are saying. Here's an article, Pastor Dan, it says, Iraqi Shiite figures warn U.S.-Iran war could burn Iraq. And I don't want to get into the whole article, but let's just say that there's a big leader, Muqtada al-Sadr, which is a Shiite in Iraq, which is leading a great amount of people in the wrong direction in Iran with Iran ties. And these clerics are, and the leading politician with all close ties to Iran, warned that Iraq could once again get caught in the middle of another conflict. And the U.S. troops are there in Iraq, and they're talking about using Iraqi Shiites to put blame on Iranians to start a conflict over there in attacks against U.S. troops. About there's 5,000 that are in the country as we speak, and they could actually drag you know, the U.S. into Iran war. And then he says if that happened, then Iraq would also be the enemy of the, or the U.S. would also be the enemy of the Iraqi people. So it's very clear that you know, in the beginning of the war with the ISIS, and the Iranian general comes over to Iraq and then forms a camaraderie to fight against terrorism. Here we have a terrorist fighting against a terrorist, trying to eliminate that maddened group of psychopathic Islamic adherents that were going around beheading multitudes of people. Well, Iran was on the good team with Iraq, but now they're together, and now they're threatening the United States, and now they're saying, we want you out of the United States, and we wonder why. Here's an article. Every one of these specifics of prophecy, brother, have to be met with the details. And so we see the details about the waterway, around the waterway there. We look at the details of two horns, and they're actually identified, and you put them at the end of time, you'll find the geographic location is there at the Eli River at the confluence of the Tigris and Euphrates, right there in between Iraq and Iran. So those things are all nailed down. And then you wonder who this goat may be that comes across the surface of the whole earth. So you need to look at the detail. It says it comes from the west across the surface of the whole earth and doesn't touch the ground. It indicates the prophet must see this goat coming from the air, not touching the ground. And it has in it a great nation, or a great horn, which is later on identified as a great nation in the scripture. And so, you know, when I began to look at the interpretation of who the goat was, and it said that the goat is a kingdom of Yavan, okay? The word Yavan, it actually came out of the sons of Noah. They migrated over there to the area of around the Mediterranean in Cyprus, Kittim, northeastern Turkey, and Ionia, or the Hellenistic lands of Greece. So that was where you know, Gabriel said, "This is the great horn is Yavan," and I find it interesting that, that when you look at the distance between Yvonne and the Ulai River, I kind of looked at it in the, on the internet. It's like a little bit over 900 miles from where Yvonne would be to the Ulai River. But then I looked, I typed in New York City to, from New York City to the Ulai, and it was like 9,000 miles or something like that. Over. So, but this goat could not come from a short distance, but a long distance across the surface of the whole earth. And that is where this great nation from the West comes from. And they're actually known as the West, and with a coalition of European nations and Great Britain, have always been known as the West for a long, long time. So at the end, we would understand this idea of the West and a great nation from the West. And so here I see a headline, Pastor Dan. Now, do you have some input on this yet?
No, I'm just intently listening. A lot of people, you're saying the goat, but a lot of people want to know who the horn is that comes out of that goat. Who do you
yes.
think that is?
Okay, well, yeah, out of the, there are two horns, actually, if you want to get technical, I believe there's several horns in Daniel 8, and we can't get them mixed up. We should get them mixed up anyway, but there is a great horn. And it's coming from across the surface of the whole earth from the west. So we know where it's coming from. And it comes from the air, and it's mad against this ram who is standing in between Iraq and Iran. Okay? And right at a waterway over there, which just happens to be one of great interest with a lot of people at the moment. And, you know, there have been, that's why, and here's a headline, Pastor Dan, why the U.S. Navy has 10 ships, 130 aircraft and 9,000 personnel in the Mediterranean. And let me give you just a little another side note on this, Pastor Dan, about another prophecy of Daniel that fits this one perfectly, and it's found in Daniel chapter 11, and it also deals with the abomination of desolation, okay? And it talks okay. about the ships of Kittim, okay? And that's found in Daniel 11:31. And that, in fact, the ships of Kittim are responding to something that's happening over a certain location. We can, I don't want to get into this particular prophecy, but this, the ships of Kittim are around the area of Cyprus, which just happens to be the area where Yvonne was, okay, back in the sons of Noah. They migrated over there, and they were known as people from the west. And so, but according to prophecy, at the end, we would understand that the west, across the surface of the earth, wouldn't be the area of Yvonne, but there is a place that comes across the earth from a long distance, and it just happens to be a place there's where a great nation is. And at the end, we would understand exactly what this means, that this ram and this goat that comes across from that direction will get into a conflict, and something that this ram does really angers the goat and with a great nation leading the way. And I think that when they do it, they're not going to just do it alone, even though they could. But I think they, as they did before, they'll develop a coalition. In fact, as we speak, there are coalitions being developed. Even in Saudi Arabia, they are calling an emergency conference of Arab leaders, I think on the 30th, to discuss Iran's aggression and how they're going to deal with these threats of closing down at Hormuz and the other things they're doing. I'm telling you, man, this stuff is ramping up big time, and this is going to turn out bad. According to the prophecy, it's going to turn out real bad. In fact, it will kick off a time when it gets so bad that there's going to be a lockdown and a little horn comes up out of it that I think you're talking about. That's going to rule by force, and a multitude of people are going to be given with this little horn to stir up some serious end-time events. And that's in the prophecy of Daniel.
Well, right, and that horn's referred to as Daniel's little horn, and that's where, you know, really, that's where the big focus, the final focus seems to be on everybody. And so I was just curious about your view, but from thinking about it, it isn't time for you to go into that part of it yet. Let's go back to this. You're talking
it's a war between the West and Iran that gets this world so worked up and so broken. Because when that war commences, Pastor Dan, you know, and Trump is saying war is going to mean the official end of Iran. That's a current headline. And he said, never threaten the United States again. And they're threatening, they're not only threatening, but they're bombing these oil tankers. They're finding these tanks that are taking, a missile is fired toward the embassy in the green zone there in Baghdad. And they are just, and they're finding out that Iran has the fingerprints on it. And man, we're, you know, we are getting stirred up to a place of a war, and it's all it's going to take is one of these Iraqi Shiites to pretend like, you know, to attack something in the U.S. interest over there, and it's on. And that's, I think they're just both, they both got their guards up. They said, we don't want war, but I think both of them are looking for the first punch. And I think that if Iran was smart, they would throw the first punch and do it by surprise.
Right. And we have a, you know, with Saudi Arabia, we do have that with Saudi Arabia and some of those other in Jordan and stuff. They are in the peace deal. They're
okay.
in on the peace deal. That's what they want is peace. And in the same light, they are starting to side with Trump against Iran. And so this, it's just like a fuse is already lit. I don't know if anybody can put it out. That's kind of my point. It is about to blow up, and it could take any minor infraction, a miscalculation on the Iranians' part, and do something not meant, and Trump will blow them off the map.
Amen, brother. And that's exactly, it's not exactly what it says, but when this war commences, that great horn will be so powerful. According to the first part of it, it says that this ram is going to push, and nobody in the Middle East could do anything with it. It was just rambling along and pushing and being aggressive, and that's exactly what has happened. And they are trying to take over several countries and doing a good job at it and got their proxies there to make war with them. So, but the thing about it is that I think is a primary point is it's going to turn toward the little place of, called Israel. And it's also going to narrow down to this little place called Jerusalem, and that happens to be where Iran says one day we're going to sit after we remove the occupiers. And bottom line, all these prophecies, if they don't have something to do with Israel, they're non-relevant. The Israel prophets wrote of this time, and when they say Iran at the end is going to be involved with a war, then that's also going to involve Israel. And we know that if Iran attacks Israel, as they have been doing, they've been shooting rockets over, and Iran's been really embarrassing Iran over in Syria. If we talk about war starting. Actually, war has already started. We just haven't called it that yet. When you have missiles flying back and forth, from not only that, but you have Hamas flying 600 rockets into Israel here a couple of weeks ago, and we know who's backing them up. Iran's right in the middle of it. And Hezbollah, I'll tell you, it's very evident that one day they're going to go down and they're going to, by surprise, do something towards Israel that's going to bring down the house. And you know who's going to jump in when it happens. And when the West jumps in with this coalition, with this great nation, that ram is going to get destroyed, break both its horns, and then what is really important to note here, brother, which will especially concern you and me, is after that war is won by the West and a great nation, the focus is attended to the great nation, and it begins to brag and becomes mightier, and then all of a sudden the prophet sees the great nation break. Now, please hear me out. When this great nation breaks, it's going to go toward the four winds of heaven, implying that it's going to affect the whole world. And we understand that if this great nation breaks, it is going to affect the whole world, surely.
Sure, absolutely. Absolutely,
and then,
I can't.
And then out of that war, chronologically, brother, then Daniel 7 comes into sharp focus. When the great horn breaks, then four come up in its place, and the book of Daniel sees in Daniel's first vision four winds striving upon the great sea when a great beast comes up out of the sea having four beasts, okay? And so it's coming up in a time of when the four winds are striving upon the earth, meaning that the four winds, which had been held back by the four angels, now the work has been done. Now the four winds are striving upon a great sea, and there is a 3.5-year period here that we need to deeply understand in the prophecies of Daniel in order to get through it. And what I'm trying to convey, brother, is we are facing the precipice of this prophecy kicking into gear, and when we do, it's going to bring on a war between the West and Iran. Iran's going to get in Iraq is going to be destroyed. a bear, a leopard with four heads, and a great and dreadful terrible beast will rise up in his place, which are the four horns of Daniel chapter 8. And out of one of them, out of one of these four horns, a great beast, are going to come forth a little horn, and he's going to take over. And by great deception, with mark of the beast language is in Daniel chapter 8 also.
Let me say something. What is absolute, has to happen, ever since Israel has went back and became a country, the United States has been used as its protector, absolutely. Otherwise, it wouldn't be there. So one or two things, something's got to happen with this nation to where Israel can't rely on it to defend it anymore. They're going to have to call out to Yahweh instead, and the Savior will come and save them. But that's got to happen. We've got to be taken out of the way. I thought maybe it was going to be just with Obama by making us to where we were not supporting Israel. But now, with our strong support of Israel, something's got to happen.
No, it's on. It's on, brother. It's not a matter of if, it's when. And I could, you'll never hear me talk about times and dates. But I will say this, this thing is in our face. And when it happens, so bottom line, what's this mean? That means, number one, Yeshua is coming, which we ought to be really happy about, and be going out and proclaiming this gospel of the good news of the kingdom. It's a kingdom coming, brother, that's ruled by a mighty king. His name is Yeshua, and it's going to be a world of no pain, no sorrow, no crying, no more bills, huh? And, man, I'm telling you, we ought to be proclaiming this kingdom to come. And, you know, Paul said the end is near. Peter said, you know, let us watch me, because the end is near. All of these prophets and people who were in the grace of Yeshua all said, hey, the coming of Yeshua is near, therefore let's watch and be sober. And 2,000 years later, we ought to be saying that quite often. And I find that our church is asleep. The churches are asleep. And now is the time to be proclaiming the great news. Behold, the bridegroom is coming. And that's what's going to wake up the 10 virgins. That is the message. And it comes by the message of Daniel, because when we see Daniel coming to pass before our very eyes, the clock, the appointed time of Daniel kick off, and those who are wise are going to understand, and they're going to instruct many, yet they're going to fall by sword and famine and great pursuit by the enemy, and we need to put on a whole armor that we'll be able to withstand in that day, having done all to stand, brother, in Yeshua's name.
Yeah, amen. Well, hey, listen, it's time. We're up. You got to tell them your website and all that, and we'll have to say goodbye for now.
Okay, Pastor Dan, thank you for the privilege to be chatting with you. It's been a while. I miss you, brother. SherwoodProphecy.org. Go over there and check it out. I'll keep you informed. Be blessed, brother.
All right, well, you be blessed. Thanks for being on. Bye-bye. Okay, folks, that was Steve Henderson, SureWordProphecy.org, anyway, you'll find the link wherever you find this program at. We must remember, folks, that there is only one God. He is your Father. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for repented sins, and he rose after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father. Remember, always, always, always be a blessing to others. Pray about supporting Wichita Mission Churches. Pray about supporting radio. Lord our God, Father, King, Universe, ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name that, Father, you would bless and keep them, and that your face would shine upon them. May you please be gracious to them and give them peace like no one or nothing else can. Until next Thursday, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for the Messiah's Branch.